world-famous Phil Henry Show. We are live and mobile on TuneIn, live and mobile on the Phil Henry Show website, and free. Just hit Listen Live. That's all you got to do. With a subscription to our website, that is our backstage pass, you get our nightly video cast, video events that we will air on weekends, especially during the summertime when we have our Saturday night movies. And we also have our special pre-shows where you can, you know, watch me as I rail against life and man in these times.
Now, you just, I want people to know, Phil just took the sexual Kinsey report test. And,
Wait a minute, Margaret.
No, I want to do this.
Well, Margaret, he ought to be allowed.
No, I want to do this. Because we're going to bring Larry Grover, right?
Yeah, we're going to get Larry Grover on from Conservatives of Kern County. That's another group that is totally supported the Arizona bill. And Larry will take this Kinsey test. Now, go ahead, Margaret.
Now, here's the interesting thing about Phil's test. Phil admitted to watching gay porn.
Are you kidding me or something?
Yeah. Hold on, bud. Wait.
Phil admitted to watching gay porn. Phil also said that in the right circumstance, he could be gay. Isn't that what that said?
In the right circumstance, yeah, I could be, I could have homosexual sex, something like that.
Yes. Well, so those were some answers to the overall test that he took. Now, what do you think the test said he was? General?
Well, I think the test would say that he's primarily heterosexual, but with gay tones, with a gay coloration or tones or fabric. Not fabric, but...
We're not decorating a house here, okay?
Yeah, I'm sure. That does make you gay, then.
What does?
Because all the gay tones.
Not gay tones. They didn't say that. They say part... They'll say heterosexual... Predominantly heterosexual with homosexual leanings.
Yeah, that's what that said?
No. Phil's test result, I'll give you in a minute, bud.
What'd it say?
I'll give it to you in a minute, bud.
I think it says that he's heterosexual with gayness or gay tones.
It doesn't say gay tones, you moron. I'm going to kick someone's ass.
All right, take it easy, Margaret.
And I don't like you grabbing my arm like that, Phil.
I don't want you going over the table on people, okay? Do you mind? Heterosexual with homosexual leanings, is that it?
Yeah.
What about you, Robert?
Yeah, I'll say the same thing.
All right. Phil's test result was exclusively heterosexual.
Oh, my bare rear end. How could that be if he says that he's watched the gay porn and would indeed pigeonhole some young boy in a shower?
It didn't say that, man.
Well, what are you laughing at?
It didn't say that. The question that it asked me was, could I engage in the right circumstance in a homosexual act? Anyway, so it says that I'm exclusively... So we're going to bring Larry Grover on to take this test, and the reason being... That obviously, if you try to outwit this test by saying no, 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 no to anything that even remotely says you're gay, the test is not, I don't think, is fooled by that.
Well, you said that you occasionally would watch gay porn.
I've said that, I forget what the question was. Would you watch, here it is. I avoid watching gay pornography.
And you said no.
I said false.
Well, then why would that say you're exclusively... I don't understand this at all.
Well, because it takes... You know, there are certain natural things that heterosexuals, I guess, do, and some of that includes fantasizing about or watching homosexual sex. I don't know. Larry Grover's going to be joining us here in just a moment on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Want to remind you that the online store at philhenryshow.com is kind of a beautiful thing. In fact, I want to bring it up here on our, if I can, bring it up here on Phil TV and HD, just so you can see the groovy stuff, what we got, man.
Hey, when are you going to do a free video cast? Everybody asking about it and everything.
Yeah, a lot of people want to know if you're going on Ustream.
We are going to go on Ustream, and what we're planning on doing is a free video cast a week. And I think that would be a fun thing to do. A free video cast a week. So take a look at your Phil TV screen, and there you see Ted's of Beverly Hills shirts. There's our Rudy Canoza La La Ladies Tee. There's the Ted's of Beverly Hills hooded pullover sweatshirt. And if you go inside, we've got collectibles And those collectibles include the Bobby Dooley keychain, the official Phil Henry Show coffee mug, and the official Phil Henry Show shot glass, of which we are extremely proud. We also have our digital downloads of all of our best-of CDs, the classic best-of CDs from 1997 right through 2005. And we also have the Miami, Best of Miami 2004, which is a real collector's item. That's a CD download. I do not believe we have the hard copy. Here are the hard copies that we do have, which are all of our best-of CDs, the classic best-of CDs from 97 through 2005. And don't forget our gift subscriptions, the $9.99 all-access backstage pass gift subscription, and then the audio-only backstage pass gift subscription, $9.99 a month or $4.99 a month. So I think it's kind of a cool thing. Take advantage of all of that grooviness as soon as you most possibly can. Okay, Larry Grover joining us here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Larry, how are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, Phil. I heard the, I got the premise of what it is you're going to be doing here. You're going to be asking me the Kinsey report. Let me tell you before you go into this. Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey was one of these Eastern intellectuals that believed he could quantify and codify whether or not someone was a homosexual based upon these questions. I doubt seriously if Mr. Kinsey's tests would, in point of fact, be considered or deemed accurate today by an impartial...
We can't hear you, Larry.
You've got to get closer to the phone.
I'm sorry, by an impartial jury...
Phil, it's Gloria.
Okay, Gloria, I can't have you on the phone.
No, I'm just trying to get Larry to get... You have to be close.
I'm close to the phone, Mother. So, in other words, Phil... I think that I'd be happy to take your quiz and to find out, you know. But I'm a heterosexual. Don't you worry about that.
And I asked Larry because you know I have my doubts.
Mother loves to humiliate me. She's because I wasn't circumcised. She has a nickname for my for the penis that I do have.
What do you mean the penis that you do have? You mean the...
I mean the one that I got now, that I other than the one that I would have had I been circumcised.
Yeah.
All right. We don't need to know about nicknames that your own mother has for your you-know-what, if you don't mind.
You-know-what.
Yeah. Now, let me just ask you some questions here. All right. So, Larry, how old are you?
I'm 43.
43. Jeez, I'm sorry. I got to use two hands here. That's interesting. 43. All right, Larry, what gender do you identify as? Obviously, you are...
I identify as a man.
Okay. Please evaluate the following statements as... please evaluate the following statements as true or false. I have never felt sexual desire. True or false?
Well, that's false.
You know what? This is impossible for me to do.
Why?
Because I'm having to use too many hands, and
You're using too many hands to do what?
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to punch buttons on this thing. I'm trying to do the show. It's an impossible thing to do. Hey, Nikki, you don't have this thing in front of you, do you?
Yeah.
Why don't you, Larry? Why don't you do this? Okay? Can you record Larry's answers?
I can.
That's a great way of putting it, Phil. He finally got around to it.
Yeah, why don't you...
Okay. So you'll go ahead and ask the question, Nikki, and Larry will answer. How about that?
Because I can do that.
Okay.
All right, who's asking me the question?
Nikki.
All right. I'll accept that.
True or false?
Go ahead.
I have never felt sexual desire.
She's asking me or she's saying that?
I'm asking you.
That's false.
I cannot decide what sex I am attracted to more.
That's false.
I find the idea of having sex with another man repulsive.
True.
I wouldn't want to die without having experimented sexually with both men and women.
False.
I have no interest in sexual intercourse with anyone. The gender composition of an orgy would be irrelevant to my decision to participate.
False.
I avoid watching gay pornography.
True.
I can be sexually attracted to anyone in the right circumstances.
False. I'm complete no. That's impossible.
I have always been extremely confident in my sexual orientation.
True.
False.
Mother, it's true.
It's false.
I find men more attractive than women.
False. Jeez.
I would find a threesome with a couple awkward, specifically because of the presence of the man.
True.
I am only attracted to men.
I'm only attracted to men.
True or false?
That's false.
I am sexually submissive.
False.
Your score is a zero, exclusively heterosexual.
Thank you. See? So Henry, the same thing Henry got, and he said that he was interested in having looking at gay porn. So?
That surprises me. How come I scored a zero? I mean, I scored a zero? That's called a zero?
Yeah.
How come I scored a zero and he scored a zero and I was more honest about the gay porn thing?
Because that doesn't define homosexuality.
Oh, I see.
It's fantasy.
I got you.
It's curiosity.
Totally.
Yeah, but Larry's not even curious.
Why would I want to be curious about something disgusting? It disgusts me. The whole idea of men on men, man, guy with guy, makes me sick. It almost...
Does it make you violent?
No, I'm not going to fall into your trap, because if I said yes, then you'd say that I was a bull queen. And I'm not about...
All right, thanks a lot, Larry. What's that? Oh, it's 17 at...
A bull queen.
Yep. All right, so enough of that. But I think what we've done tonight over the last hour and 15 minutes with this topic is I think we have given the state of Arizona a better education on gay, non-gay, this gay, down gay, up gay, her gay, me gay. I think we've just...
I'd say we're gayed out, if you want my honest opinion.
Yeah, we pretty much went down the gay road all the way to the gay street.
What? All right, anyway, we'll be back on a Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and with more, and all y'all, you know. Hey! Hey! Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. So we got that out of the way, huh?
Well, that was a whole lot of weird.
And Larry Grover called back. He feels very, very, I mean, I feel sorry for Larry.
Why?
Well, he felt that you guys mocked him and made fun of him and...
All right. Well, where is he? Larry, we're sorry, man. You know? What happened?
Well, you know, I got Mother over here saying, oh, Larry is as queer as a $3 bill.
I didn't say that, Larry.
Yes, you did, Mother.
I was joking, Bill.
Well, you tend to joke a little bit too much with him.
Yeah, and then you guys, after I hang up, you're all, yeah, ha, 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 Larry... Larry must be as queer as a $3 bill, and Mother is Larry's as queer as a $3 bill, and
Well, I don't think anybody used that term.
Well, that's what you're. Yeah, you did. Didn't you say that I was queer as a $3 bill?
No, I didn't say that at all.
Well, and the term Larry is queer as a $2 bill.
Queer as a $2 bill. They've got $2 bills.
Yeah, they do have $2 bills.
Well, they may have $2 bills now. But when they came up with that term, they didn't have $2 bills.
Yeah, but a guy can't be queer as a $2 bill now. If I'm queer as a $2 bill, I'm not queer. And so that's not an insult.
You're not, and let's not use that word anymore, and thank you very much, okay? I've got to move on.
Well, I mean, you guys talk about me being...
I think the biggest problem Larry has is living at home with his mother.
Yeah, bingo! Bingo! What that guy doing living at home with his mom?
I don't know, man. I mean, the guy, Larry, you know...
What's his story, anyway? I don't think I've got the whole Larry Grover story.
Larry was a fairly successful businessman in Bakersfield with his wife and his four daughters when he became obsessed with the Clinton impeachment. And he formed a group called Conservatives of Kern County. And he became more obsessed and more obsessed to the point where he began to withdraw from his wife and daughters. And the next thing you know, they had no real life together. Larry was spending every waking moment on the Clinton impeachment trying to...
What side of that street was he walking on?
Well, conservative.
Yeah, he wanted to peach him.
He wanted to peach him. It's called impeach.
Impeach.
Oh.
So, I see. So the impeachment, not the impeachment. See what you made me do?
I didn't do nothing.
But you put the in my mind now. The peach. What is the thing? The peachy, not the peachy.
Impeachment, General.
It's called impeachment, General.
I know that. But the thing that you put your report in, now I'm thinking about that. Did he have a peachy?
Did he have a peachy? What?
The peachy folder.
Okay, General.
No. Don't blow me off like I've got part of my brain that needs to be looked at during the autopsy. Because
General, to finish the story.
Go ahead.
What do you mean a peachy folder, by the way?
You've never heard of a peachy.
Is that what it's called, a peachy?
I don't know. I remember when I was a kid, when we were all kids. I don't know about Bud and Robert and but the peachy was a... You remember...
I know what that was. It was a cardboard folder of some kind that you put papers in.
Yes.
What's that got to do with Clinton?
You said impeachment, didn't you?
No, I said impeachment. All right. So Larry was trying to get Clinton impeached and became so obsessed with getting Clinton impeached that he withdrew from his wife and daughters, and they eventually moved out. His wife moved out with the girls, and Larry lost his business, and Larry became so obsessed and so compelled by this political, this whole thing going on with Clinton that he eventually lost his business and wound up moving in with his mother back in Culver City, where he now sleeps on the service porch on a cot, and that's that, you know.
He sleeps on a cot.
Yeah. He sleeps on a cot on the service porch and still can't get himself loose of CNN, Fox, and all that crap. I think that Larry is the ultimate political eunuch. I think Larry is the ultimate, and that his mother thinks he's gay because of the very things we've been talking about.
Do you?
No, I think Larry is more asexual, like that whole asexual thing. See, that's that other thing that
What's asexual?
Asexual is not being interested in sex at all.
You put me on, man, but people like that?
Yeah, there's people like that. There's people that are not heterosexual, that are not homosexual necessarily. They're just not interested in sex. They're just not interested in sex. It's not anything that is of interest to them. It could be something with their hormones. It could be, who knows what it is. It could be something having more to do with the brain but just the type of person. In other words, it doesn't mean a lack any more than being a heterosexual or a homosexual means that you're lacking something. It's a person. It's a type. It's an orientation.
Well, it's not really an orientation, though, is it?
Yeah, it's an orientation. It's an asexual orientation. So, you know, you're not interested in sex. And this was what they think, essentially, was the orientation of James Buchanan. James Buchanan was the president before, what's his name, Lincoln.
What's his name?
Yeah, I don't even know what Lincoln's called.
Yeah, I think he's called Lincoln. Am I right?
Yeah, that's right, Mr. Henry.
Well, Phil's right, technically.
Thank you very much.
Well, I gave you a hint.
Yeah, you did give me a hint. That's right. You said, I don't know what Lincoln's called. I went, Bud just gave me a hint. His name's Lincoln.
Well.
Bud, don't you see where Phil's trying to make you look like a boob? You don't, do you?
That made me look like no boob.
So Lincoln, the guy before him was Buchanan. They said that James Buchanan was gay. No, James Buchanan was not gay. You could read the letters between James Buchanan and friends of his where they used the floral language of the 19th century. Men often told each other that they loved each other in letters. Men often told each other that they thought about each other in letters. It was not an unusual thing for heterosexual men to speak to each other when they wrote letters, to address each other in the writing of letters in this kind of very romantic, today we would see as romantic, but back then it was... just enhanced language, you know. I think of you. I look fondly upon your return when we are together again. And, you know, this kind of thing was very common. Buchanan wrote the same way to his friends as any other man did in those days. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that James Buchanan was gay, but there is ample evidence that he had absolutely no interest whatsoever in women or men. So his niece was the official hostess of the White House.
Now, so the niece was the one that greeted guests and so forth?
Yeah, his niece, James Buchanan's niece, was the hostess. She was the one that attended the state dinners along with him. She was the one that was the social greeter and hostess of the White House back in the day. It's as simple as that, man. And so that is the asexuality that we talk about, or that the Kinsey Report talks about. People that just don't have any interest in it, man.
Well, some people think that's weird. I think that life would be a lot better if those of us who are interested in sex were not. Unfortunately for me, and I suspect Phil, and unfortunately others in this room, that's not the case. I'm Margaret Gray. I just said I'm Margaret Gray. You can't.
Sorry.
I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, welcome back. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
What have you got on the Phil TV?
Got some hockey, I don't know, something. I feel the need for a contact sport. Football is over, and it's been over now for a good month. And I wanted to just get away from sports for a while. I could care less. I watched a little teeny itsy bitsy piece of golf.
Did you see the what was it called, Phil?
What was what called?
That you guys watching on the TV.
Oh, that was at Riviera.
Yeah, yes, the Riviera. Well, what are they calling it now? It used to be the L.A. Open, right?
Yeah, it used to be the L.A. Open, man. I don't know, they call everything different now, man. I mean, I come from, I remember the San Diego Open, the L.A. Open, and I remember, today it's called the AT&T at Pebble Beach, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right about that? The AT&T at Pebble Beach, yeah. That used to be called the Crosby Clam Bake, the Bing Crosby Pro-Am. And I think it still is a pro-am.
Well, what about Catherine Crosby? Now, wasn't she just elbowed out of that? I think it was a disgrace what they did to her.
No, they didn't do anything to her. Catherine Crosby, she's the widow of Bing Crosby, I think. She graciously and agreeably allowed the main, representation of that course to pass to the PGA and to their sponsors, and it was AT&T. But yeah, that was the Bing Crosby for a lot of years. These golf opens, today, of course, it's all very corporate. Back in the day, they would name them after celebrities, and that attracted the corporate sponsors. You know what I'm saying?
What are you talking about? But who's Bing Crosby anyway?
That's the same guy that sang that song with David Bowie.
The guy that sang Little Drummer Boy with David Bowie?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's the guy. You yelling again, bud?
What?
Because you're going like, what? Okay, just back it down.
That's the same guy that went, Bing Crosby is the guy that sang Hey Jude and then said, no, I better not because it's about heroin. I think it was one of the most courageous decisions he ever made.
What are you talking about?
What was that?
What do you mean, Phil? Don't make it seem like I'm the one that needs to sit on the chair in the middle of the surgical theater and take a look at the shape of her head. Is that what you mean?
I hadn't even, you know.
Phil, don't give it the dead air treatment like I just said something Gloyd-like. I'm saying Bing Crosby sang the song Hey Jude by the Beatles, and then he found out it was about heroin addiction.
Who ever said that song's about heroin addiction?
Well, what do you mean?
It's about heroin addiction because, hey, Jude, la-dee-dee-dee, it's dim-witted and dulling.
Did he really think that?
Yes. And my understanding is it's true.
Hey, Jude is about heroin addiction. We're going back a long, long time, but I don't think so. I just don't think so.
Well, you're saying that Bing Crosby decided not to sing that song because he's a complete clucking imbecile. Is that it?
Not an imbecile, but he must have gotten some bad advice from somebody, because I'll tell you this, and I mean it. Bing freaking Crosby is wrong if he thinks that that song is about drug addiction. It's not, or heroin addiction. It's not.
Well, Bing Crosby doesn't think about it anymore because he can't think about it.
Yeah, on account of he's dead.
Someone should smack you.
Hey. Easy.
All right. But you know, this is wild. I've never been on a radio show before where at least three or four times a night I got to hold somebody back from beating someone up or gouging somebody's eyes out.
I'll put the heel of this high heel, bud. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know you mean it. But you'll never do it if Mr. Henry has anything to say about it.
One of these days, I'm not going to stop her, man. Okay. No, so anyway, the Bing Crosby clan, how did we get into heroin addiction?
You're talking about golf.
Yes, it seems like a logical... Well, it's not logical, but if you're talking about the golf game as we know it today, with the number of heroin addicts...
What heroin addicts?
That are playing the game. What about this guy Daly? That guy is up to his ears. He's stoned up to his ears on junk. On the junk.
I don't think that's true.
John Daly? John Daly, you know what? You're going to get sued for stuff like that.
No, I won't get sued. The radio show will get sued. I'm indemnified.
What's indemnified mean?
You're not indemnified from anything, man. You say something about John Daly, and he sues your ass has been sued.
Well, he'll sue you, too.
Well, then watch it, will you? John Daly had an alcohol problem, as I recall. He had an alcohol addiction problem. He had an alcoholism problem. That's what I heard John Daly have. But I never heard John Daly have any problem relative to heroin. You got to be high on a mixture of narcotics yourself.
See, right there, at least three or four times a show, you accuse the rest of us of being on a drug.
Well, some of the stuff you guys say, man, I it stands to reason. Believe me when I tell you. That's the only thing that I could possibly point to as being the reasons for some of the weird stuff you guys say. Weird? God. All right. What other stuff have you got going on here, Margaret? Did you want to...
Well, I want to mention to everyone that we were at Carnegie's in Long Beach last weekend, and we did do a gospel set. I stuck my tongue out at the devil. People seem to think I'm doing a comedy show, and it is not a comedy show. These are very wonderful gospel songs written by Reggie Howard and his wife, Cecilia.
I stuck my tongue out at the devil?
I stuck my tongue out at the devil, yes. These are traditional religious songs. And I wanted to bring on, as Phil was talking earlier about getting on Pastor William Rennick, I gave him a call because we are scheduled to be at Pastor Rennick's on... See, two Sundays from now, and I don't know exactly what the date of that is going to be, but we'll get Pastor Rennick on right now. Pastor William Rennick from Joyful Union Congregation. Pastor Rennick, how are you?
Very, very good. And Margaret, I want to thank you for being high at our congregation.
And tonight you're where?
We are at we're at a fundraiser for the new youth hospital that we're building here at Joyful Union Congregation.
And I want to say hello to Clara.
Clara!
Yes, hello, Margaret.
Dear, how are you? Thank you so much for the support you gave to our appearance there at Carnegie's and the Gospel Breakfast.
We had a wonderful time. I know a lot of the songs that you sing are very non-traditional, but
let me say something. I like a lot of the gospel music that you sing, Margaret. I think I stuck my tongue out at the devil is a very non-traditional title. I think that's what got a lot of people saying to me later that it... Is she kidding or something, you know?
I understand that, but I think the support that was lent to me by yourself and the congregation, I appreciate.
Absolutely, but you do understand, you say, I stuck my tongue out the devil. Jesus, give me a jiffy. Jesus, give me the, give the jiffy pop to Jesus. I think it's
it. No, give the jiffy pop to Jesus, yes.
What is give the jiffy pop to Jesus?
Excuse me, Phil, I'm talking to the pastor.
Phil, I can't let me answer, Phil.
Go ahead.
It's a song. I have a difficult time with it. I have a difficult time with it. Because you say, give the jiffy pop to Jesus. That is a song about family time on Sunday. And Sunday is a time to spend time with family. Sunday is a time of rest. It's a day of rest. The seventh day. On the seventh day, the Lord rests. And on the seventh day, we believe in our denomination, our church, that that is a Sunday, not Saturday. Now, I understand the Jewish people and like that, but we say that's Sunday. And give the jiffy pop to Jesus is a way of saying I spend my family time with Jesus. Now, that's all well and good. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that there's something that can be said for that. I've got a very difficult time. I got to explain this to people.
Well, what is to explain? You say give the Jiffy Pop to Jesus. Again, this was Reginald Coleman and his wife Cecilia. These are wonderful songs. Didn't you like the song?
I've got to tell you, I had turned and I'd walked out when I heard Jiffy Pop because I got hungry, believe it or not.
That's the absolute truth. He got hungry. I said, why are you not sitting and listening to music? He said, because now all of a sudden, he said, should I say what you said?
He don't say it, no.
He said, darn that Margaret. Now,
please don't say it.
I did not say what you said, William. He said, now I need to go out and get some Cracker Jack. So he went out and got a Cracker Jack.
But I got a bag of the Cracker Jack because you know they don't make a box.
I don't understand. Why did you go get Cracker Jack?
You were talking about Jesus and the Jiffy Pop. And,
Well, so you got hungry.
I got very hungry, yeah. Margaret's singing that. She's saying the other one there, I stuck my tongue out at Jesus, stuck my tongue out at the devil. And I said to Clara, came back and said, did you stick your tongue out at Jesus? She said, you don't stick your tongue out at Jesus. You stick your tongue out at the devil. Jesus got the Jiffy Pop. And I said, you understand the confusion?
Well, I don't think there's any confusion. I think the songs are beautiful. They're children or childlike songs. And if there's any confusion, I think it was promulgated by yourself.
That's what I said. I think Reverend Pastor Rennick wanted to confuse people.
No, I don't want to confuse people.
And why did you say I want to stick my tongue out of Jesus and to hell with a Jiffy Pop?
I didn't say to hell. I said the devil got the Jiffy Pop. You know...
See, I will tell you right now, a title like I Stuck My Tongue Out at the Devil and Jesus Has Got the Jiffy Pop, that just leads into a comedic interpretation, don't you think?
That's what I think.
I don't think. You're asking me?
Yeah, and I was asking, what about you, Clara?
I agree with Margaret. I think that those are perfectly lovely songs, very simple songs.
I think it leads to the devil. They give the devil, get the Jiffy Pop. Jesus got the Jiffy Pop. What are you talking about? I'm going to stick my tongue out at the devil and Jesus got a Jiffy Pop. I'm sitting there with a Jiffy Pop. I just stuck my tongue out at the devil. How relaxing a Sunday you think I'm going to have? I got Jesus sitting there looking at me, muttering how much popcorn I'm eating, and I just stuck my tongue out at the devil. You think I'm going to have fun? Forget it.
William got angry. Now he's walking away because you laughed, Phil.
Yeah, I know. Hold on, Clara.
What, Phil? The laughter doesn't help us get to the truth.
Margaret.
No, the laughter doesn't help us get to the truth. Now, I sang that song. He turns around and goes and gets Cracker Jack. Does he say, what did he say, Robert?
Yeah, so the pastor said that he got hungry, went and got a Cracker Jack with a gift in a box.
No, he didn't. He didn't say he said the box wasn't big enough. He went and got a big bag of it.
They don't make no Cracker Jack by the bag.
No, that's true. I double check. I happen to like Cracker Jacks. And I went and they said, we've got the caramel corn. I said, no, I didn't ask you for caramel corn. If I asked you for caramel corn, that would be a satisfactory answer. I said, I want the Cracker Jack.
Well, there's a difference.
You better believe there's a difference. One is in a bag and the other's in a box.
No, but the Cracker Jacks has nuts in it.
Oh, that is right, yes.
Right. But what's this got to do with anything? I don't know. We'll be back on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor William Rennick and Clara Bingham, his wife, as we continue discussing here Margaret's breakfast, gospel breakfast, and the upcoming appearance, her gospel singing appearance at, where's it going to be?
I already had it, Phil. There's no upcoming one. I had it all. Oh, God. God.
I'm sorry. You should have another one.
Well, not if it's going to cause a problem like this.
Just don't do the God done the Cracker Jack.
God done the Cracker Jack.
God damn the Cracker Jack, full speed ahead.
Yeah, okay. We'll be right back. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Got to wait for that to kick in because it's Viva Las Vegas. We have with us Pastor William Rennick and Clara Bingham at Joyful Union Congregation as we continue discussing with them Margaret's forthcoming or completed gospel stint. We got sidetracked somehow, and I'm wondering how,
Philip, we did not get sidetracked. If I could just say something.
Yeah.
We did not get sidetracked by anything. I have said that if she said she wanted to do the song Jesus Got the Jiffy Pop, I thought that was a silly name to a song.
It is not a silly name to a song, Pastor. It's a wonderful song, a gospel song for children.
All right, that may be well and good, but I get hungry. That's not Margaret's fault. Not Margaret's fault. I got hungry. I go out looking for the Cracker Jack, and I've got a bag of that. Now, just like the general, I just heard him say, Cracker Jack comes in a box that doesn't come in a bag. I go looking for the gift inside. And I said, about three different stores, do you got the box? And they said, a box of what? And, you know, there are women that hang around Sunday stores. She said, I got all the box you want. And I said, you know that I am a pastor of a religious congregation, and that what you're talking about, what you're looking at on the TV, Phil, is this white man. I don't got nothing wrong with that, you know.
What are you talking about?
You looking at hockey?
Yes.
All right, that's fine. I don't mind that. I'm not complaining about that. You got nothing but white people on the back of that thing. And
you know there's some black players in the NHL now?
What's this guy doing a spin move for? What is that? He looked like some kind of a girl. Look.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you're talking about the hockey. This is the National Hockey League All-Star game.
Well, I don't care what it is. I want Phil and the Reverend to continue discussing what they were discussing.
Thank you, Mark. I am trying to keep these men from acting like complete boobs and half-ass and looking like chump. Now, Reverend, you know I love you. I know you're doing. You going around looking for Cracker Jack in the middle of a gospel breakfast make everyone look bad. It just brings everyone down. It cuts everyone down. It lowers all of us to the level of a slob. What are we talking about, a slob? I'm talking about the slob where you can't even stand there like a normal human being and enjoy the gospel breakfast without going down the slob level. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I am not that kind of man. I went out looking for Cracker Jack.
Now that we know you went out looking for Cracker Jacks after you heard the Jiffy Pop song about Jesus, okay?
Well, again, Cracker Jacks comes in a box.
That's right. That's right. I'm not disagreeing with you. I tried to tell people that, but they wouldn't listen to me, so what do you want me to do?
Okay, I'm going to go now. Thank you very much.
Oh, come on, Phil.
I think we need to go. He needs to get a nap.
I'm going to get a nap. I need a nap.
Yeah, Reverend, you are flipping your lid, man. Flipping your lid.
Okay, man. God.
What was that about? Did you do that on purpose?
Did I do what? You're the one that brought him on the air.
You did, Margaret.
Yeah. Well, I don't understand that at all.
I think there's something other. You know, he's beginning to. You talk about a guy that needs a vacation. That guy had to take some time out of his fundraising activities and give himself a break because he started to lose it there, didn't he?
Yeah, he was losing it on account of Cracker Jack.
Who cares about Cracker Jacks? And whether it comes in a bag or comes in a box? I happen to be a very big caramel corn fan. Very big. Okay? What are you laughing at?
You said corn.
Come here.
Ow! You hit me!
No, I didn't.
He never touched you.
One of these days, you think somebody's going to believe you, bud? It's called The Little Boy That Cried Wolf. You ever heard of it?
No.
Some kid that cried wolf, he said, the wolf's here, and the wolf was never there. And people would come running to try to rescue him.
Yeah. And then the last time, they didn't come, and the wolf ate him.
I thought you said you never heard of it.
I didn't think I did, but then when you told the story, I go, oh, yeah, I've heard this.
Okay, so thanks a lot, Reverend. I hope that things do work out for you. Very, very soon. Now, show news that we have certainly imparted to our backstage pass holders, and we will impart to our radio and listen live free and tune in listeners. On the 15th of March, the Phil Henry Radio Show makes the final move exclusively to the web platform. We will no longer be on radio. We have done this consciously. We have planned on doing this since, I'd say probably beginning about 2 or 3 years ago, when we recognized that our last radio syndication experience was so...
Watch it, Phil.
No, I'm just going to say it was so disastrous that we recognized right away the best place for this show to be would be on the World Wide Web would be to have a digital platform. And that's what is happening on the 15th. So beginning on March 15th, and the other thing we're very excited about is that we're changing the start time for the show. It is moving from nights to mornings. The show is going to start at 9 a.m. on the Pacific Coast, 12 noon on the East Coast. So I say mornings out here on the West, a midday show out East. It will be a two-hour show, 90 minutes to 2 hours. It will be a daily podcast. So we air the show live, and then it will immediately be available as a podcast, say within an hour of the webcast ending. That begins on the 15th. We will be free and mobile on TuneIn. The show will be free and mobile on the Phil Hendry Show website. And for the next 4 days, 5 days, the show will be available on iTunes, and then it goes behind the paywall and becomes a subscription-only podcast, and that's for our Backstage Pass listeners. So that all starts on the 15th.
Now, why don't you have some contest or some giveaway or some kind of...
Yeah, you gotta give something away.
Why don't we give you away, bud? There's an idea.
I like that.
I don't care. Give me away to a woman that's nude. Yeah, give me away to a lady that's got... She's got big ones.
Oh, God, what a bozo. All right, so...
Well, how about it?
Yeah, how about it? Yeah, what do you mean, how about it? What is this? What, am I sitting here in a bar room all of a sudden playing shuffleboard? Yeah, we'll think about it, bud.
Shuffleboard?
Bar shuffleboard. All right, we are going to see you guys tomorrow night, same time, same mobile, baby, same mobile device. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. After the show, check out the website, and we will have a show log up for you, as we do each and every night. And tomorrow, of course, the podcast of this radio show available, and a show highlight available on SoundCloud and Sideshow. Well, I was wrong.